Welcome to Rockwood United Methodist Church's Sunday morning worship service on this chilly but not too cold fall day. I guess fall has started, and literally and figuratively. So it's wonderful to have you here with us. It's wonderful to have you here, those of you who are live streaming today. A couple of announcements really quick. We will be having Bible study at 6 o'clock at Terry and Nora Lee's house. And we've just started the letter of James, and we're going to go through the general epistles through Jude, and then we'll loop back into Hebrews, because Hebrews occupies a weird space where it's Pauline, but not written by Paul, probably. So it sort of falls in this weird spot. So we're going to end everything with that. But right now we're in the book of James. Everyone is invited. The first time we had it over there, Terry put out this big elaborate dinner and spoiled us, and ever since then we haven't had any food to eat, and Nancy usually about passes out from low blood sugar. I tend to hang in there for a little while, but eventually. But you're welcome to come anyway and have low blood sugar with us as we enjoy fellowship and studying scripture. So, and also church conference is coming up. It'll be the beginning of November. I don't remember the exact date at the moment, but I will get that to you. It will be live streamed. They're going to do it on it'll be on Zoom, really. So that's how we're going to do it this year. And so we got some paperwork to get together, and I will be contacting the people that are relevant this week, so we can see about getting that done. Shouldn't be too difficult this year because, well, we haven't been in church too much this year. So that will make things simpler. And then we are going to have Trunk or Treat. It's going to be on Halloween, so Saturday, October the 31st. And we're going to have it here. We're going to have it out in the, I guess that's the front entrance. I know it has a fancier name, but we'll just call it the front entrance so everybody knows what we're talking about. And I realized after we met and decided what day we were going to have it that we forgot to decide what time we were going to have it. So I'll have to ask Nancy and or Terry and or Wanda when they think is a good time. I would guess probably around 6 or 7 would be my guess. Terry's saying 6. Okay, so 6 o'clock, the 31st of October, we will have Trunk or Treat, and we'll have it set up outside. So everybody is welcome to come to bring kids, grandkids, random kids you find on the street. Bring candy to donate, and you can place it. There's a little spot here at this table and one at this table out here, and you can bring candy in for us to put together and hand out at that night. So other than that, I can't think of any announcements, so let us begin our worship service. Our first hymn is number 617, I Come With Joy. We will sing verses 1 and 5, and of course, we can't sing per se. But you can certainly sing into your mask, to your heart's desire. So let us sing this hymn together, I Come With Joy, 617, verses 1 and 5. And if you would like to, you can stand, but you don't have to, with the strangeness of our current situation. So 617, verses 1 and 5. Earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. At this time, we like to bring our prayer requests as well as our praises before the body and before the Lord. We have a couple of requests for traveling. Morgan has gone to Virginia, so keep Morgan in your prayers for traveling. And who else did you say had gone to Virginia, Jonathan? Okay, the Murphys have gone to Virginia as well, so keep them in your prayers. Lynette and Liliana are going to meet Liliana's grandmother in Lexington, so that's where they are. And Liliana's going to spend about a week with her grandmother, and then her grandmother's going to come down here for a couple days. So keep them in your prayers for traveling and everything. And also, Wanda sent me a message last night. She said if she wasn't here today, it's because her knee was bothering her really badly. But she did say that she has a doctor's appointment on Tuesday. So hooray for that. She finally broke down and decided that she needed to go to the doctor. So hopefully she'll find out what's going on. It sounds like she might have might be retaining fluid on her knee or something like that. And it's just giving her all kinds of fits from that. So keep her in your prayers, if you will. And Larry's dad, Arville, is over at the bridge in the rehab sector. And he's not loving it, so keep Arville in your prayers for recovery, and keep Larry in your prayers that he doesn't pull out every last bit of his hair, including his arm hair, and because I know that You know, anybody who has parents knows that the older you get, the older they get, the more annoying you both get. So you love them. Sometimes you'd love to, you know, forget about them too. It's definitely a struggle. And so make sure that we pray for Larry as well as for Arvel. And I think that that's all that... Terry's, what is he? Is he your cousin? I can never remember.
Ron Aaron.
Terry's cousin, Ron Aaron, is supposed to have a procedure done this week on Thursday. And it's a procedure he needs to have done. So pray that he will be able to get it done and that it will accomplish what it's intending to accomplish and that everything will go as it's supposed to. And then also, I forgot to mention when I mentioned Arvel, apparently they had somebody that worked there test positive for COVID, so they're having a little bit of a lockdown situation. And of course, anybody who has ever been in or around nursing homes and places like that knows that visitation is very important. And so when you can't, that just makes things that much worse for everybody. So if you will, keep the bridge and the people who live there and the people who work there in your prayers as well. Does anybody else have any requests this morning? Yes, let's pray for our president. If you don't know, he and the first lady have tested positive for COVID-19. And a few people that are related, staff members and some people in Congress and things like that, have tested positive as well. So let's pray for them. Yes. Okay. We'll keep them in our prayers, and your mom especially. Wanda. That's easy to remember. So, does anybody else have any requests they'd like to share? All right. Well, if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together in person, even though it's a little modified and it's a little strange, but we're thankful that we can come together in person in worship of you. Help us, Lord, to be guided by your Spirit as we attempt with your help to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we pray for both Wandas, for Wanda that goes here, that she would feel better and that her knee would feel better and that the doctor could find out what's going on and be able to help treat her for that. And also for Sharon's mother, Wanda, we pray that you would keep her safe and that you would be with all those that are in the nursing home that she is in. We pray that you would bring comfort, healing, and strength. And in all things, Lord, that people would turn to you in the midst of these difficult and somewhat scary times. And Lord, we also pray for safe travels for all of those who are traveling today, especially those who are related to our congregation, for the Murphys and for Morgan and for Lynette and Liliana and Linda. May everybody be safe. May they all enjoy their trips and return to their destinations safe and sound. Lord, we also want to pray for Arvel, that you would be with him. He's not where he wants to be, and that's understandable, but he is where he needs to be. And so we pray that you would help him to recover quickly and that this person who tested positive would be able to recover quickly, but also that the illness would not spread and that they would be able to lift the quarantine soon. Lord, we also want to pray for the president and for the first lady and for all those who are on their staff and in Congress and such that have tested positive for this virus. We pray that you would be with all of them, that you would bring healing, and that they would just draw nearer to you in these difficult times. And Lord, also for Terry's cousin as he goes through this procedure. We pray that it would all work out well and that everything would go according to plan and that it would accomplish what it is intended to accomplish. Lord, as we go forth in our worship service, may we learn, may we listen, may we understand how to be more like Christ. That is our goal. And sometimes, oftentimes, we fall far short of it. But we know that when we fall far short, you lift us up and you help us to do better. Your grace and your mercy sustain us through all of our difficulties. We pray all these things and so many more in the beautiful and holy name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we pray together the words he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, we'd like to pray over our tithes and offerings. And just as a reminder for those of you who haven't been here yet or may have forgotten because, you know, we've all slept since then, we have two offering baskets. One is here by this door and one is back there just as you go out into the narthex. And you can drop your offering in there and then we just take the bag out and take it over and it's counted. And you can also bring money in during the week. Wanda and I are both here for a good portion of the week during the week. And you can also mail it in or drop it at our mailbox. Our mailbox is secure. And also at the top of our Facebook page, if you happen to go on it, there's a link where you can give online through the conference. And that's an option if you're like me and you forget to bring money with you and things like that. So I think we get a check every week from whatever is in that offering there. So, and of course, as always, as I always say, give your tithe and your offering where you feel that the Lord is asking you to give it. The church certainly appreciates it because we have bills we have to pay, but I would rather that you be faithful to what God says than anything else. That is the most important thing, I think, in our lives as Christians, is to be faithful to what God is calling us to do. So let us say a prayer over our tithes and offerings at this time. Lord, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. As we prepare to give back of those blessings, may we be reminded, as always, we do not give out of guilt or fear, pride or greed, or any negative reason. Rather, Lord, we give out of love and devotion for you and love for neighbor. May you bless the givers. May you bless the receivers. May all come to know Christ, for it is in his name that we pray. Amen. For those of you who may be wondering, Clayton didn't forget how to play the organ. He's having a little issue with one of the pipes, and he can't figure out which one it is. So when you hear things like squeaking and stuff like that, it's not because he forgot how to play, it's because the organ forgot how to play. So we'll blame the tool and not the builder. At this time, we were singing hymn number 568, Christ for the World We Sing, and we're going to sing the first and last verses, and stand as you are able to. Otherwise, you may sit. To the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 4b through 14. Paul writes, "If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that moves from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of God to the people of God. Praise be to God. You may be seated." Anybody here ever been to a weird church service? You know what I mean when I say a weird church service. You know, like a weird church service. When I was about 16 or so, my aunt became a Christian. And my aunt was a hippie forever. And so she was kind of looking for hippie Christianity, I guess is the best way to say it. And so she went to a lot of non-denominational churches and services and things such as that. And sometimes she would bring me and my cousins along, and she went to some really weird services. Some of them weren't that strange, you know, maybe a little bit of speaking in tongues or something like that. We never went to a snake handling church, thankfully. If we had been, I would probably still be running because I'm not going to be messing with poisonous snakes. But we went to some that were very strange. The one that I remember the most was this one where the guy was up and he was preaching, and different people were being slain in the spirit and such. If you've ever been to a very Pentecostal service, you know what that means. And this one lady was running back and forth along the front of the auditorium we were in, shaking her head and barking like a dog. And my cousin and I kind of got tickled and started laughing because, well, you know. And the pastor, he's like, look at these two young brothers here. They have the gift of holy laughter. And we're like, no, that lady's just, you know, running around the front barking like a dog. I mean, that's, you know. But, you know, and you get into those and they can be a little strange. I'm not saying they're wrong. They can just be a little strange, especially if you're used to more subdued methods of worship. If you're in the Methodist Church or a Catholic Church or some of what we call high church, Anglican and Lutheran, those types, or even if you've grown up kind of Southern Baptist, and even Assemblies of God are certainly more Pentecostal, but they don't tend to get too off kilter for most people. When you go to these types of services, you can be kind of jarred, I guess is the best way to say it. And I always thought that that was kind of, you know, I see things in Scripture that I can at least say, okay, I can get where that comes from. But the thing that always bothered me at these different services was that they would preach that anything that was going wrong in your life was because you didn't have enough faith. So if, let's just say you had migraines, you suffered from migraines, it was because of lack of faith or unconfessed sin in your life. If you weren't fairly well to do, it's because of lack of faith and some sort of sin in your life. Anything that was negative, anything that was bad, anything that could be seen as not desirable was because you were bad. You had sin in your life. You didn't have enough faith. And I look in Scripture and I can see where they start from with that. I can see where they get the kernel of that idea. But the thing about heresy is that heresy always contains a little bit of truth. If you ever look at anything that has ever been declared heresy by the church, it always starts with a little kernel of truth. But then it grows packed in lies. We see that in Scripture. In Jesus' second temptation, for instance, what does the devil do? He takes him up to the top of the temple and he says, jump off. Because, you know, Scripture says that he will give his angels charge over you to protect you. And Jesus says, you're absolutely right. But it also says, don't put the Lord your God to the test. So see, the devil knows Scripture, and he knows how to twist Scripture. So all these heresies, they start with a kernel of truth. They start with something that is true. They just sort of blossom with lies. So yes, there is precedent that maybe something isn't going well in your life because you don't have enough faith. There's precedent for that. And yes, there's precedent that maybe you're not getting, you know, an answered prayer because you don't believe enough. There's precedent for that. But that's not what the teaching is. The teaching is that every bad thing, every negative thing in your life is because you are being punished either for sin or lack of faith. Jesus addressed this. If you remember, whenever he healed the man born blind, the disciples asked him, what did this guy do that he was born blind? What did his parents do? They were trying to figure out, how can we blame him, and who can we blame for this bad stuff? And the reason that they wanted to know this is because I think they were afraid that Jesus might require them to be nice to him. And their society said, you don't have to be, because obviously he's that way because God wants him to be. And Jesus says, he didn't do anything. His parents didn't do anything. In fact, he was born blind so that you would see the power of God in your midst. And Jesus healed him. If bad things happening in your life are because of sin and lack of faith, and Jesus was crucified and hung on a tree, which Deuteronomy says, cursed is anyone who hangs on a tree, then taking that to its logical conclusion, Jesus was the most sinful, faithless human being ever. Now, I hate to tell you all this, but that's blasphemy. And blasphemy is bad. Blasphemy is higher than the high sins, because blasphemy is believing something about God that is not true. When Paul writes to the Philippians, he also addresses this, but in a different way. He says, listen, if you guys think that you're better than me, let me tell you who I am. He starts out, I was circumcised on the eighth day, meaning my parents began my life in accordance with the law. Because if you look back in the law of Moses, you have to be circumcised on the eighth day, not the seventh, not the ninth, the eighth. And he was circumcised on the eighth day. So he says, I already started off good, right? I was a Jew from the beginning. He says, I was of the people of Israel, God's chosen people, right? I mean, God loves the Israelites more than anybody, right? That's, you know, that's Paul's saying. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. Benjamin was one of the most loved children of all of the 12 sons, the beginnings of the 12 tribes. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. Basically, if anybody could say they were Hebrew, they had to look at me to make sure they really were. That's what he's saying. I was that good of a follower of the law. In regard to the law, I was a Pharisee. Even Jesus commented on how righteous the Pharisees were. Jesus said, if you want to be called righteous, it has to at least match, if not surpass, the righteousness of the Pharisees. So Paul's saying, nobody could put a candle to me as far as that goes. Was I zealous? Absolutely. I persecuted the church because I really thought that they were committing blasphemy and I was going to get rid of them. As for righteousness, which is based totally on the law, you couldn't tell me I didn't uphold the law. I knew the law and I followed it. I wasn't a hypocrite. Nobody could hold anything against me regarding the law. And then he says in verse 7, but whatever were gains, whatever I could say was wonderful, whatever was great and righteous for me, I now consider loss because of Christ. Now, the term translated lost here, or loss, I won't tell you what it is, but it's a very vulgar term. Extremely vulgar. In fact, my other Bible that I preach from when I'm at Chevron it's a Hebrew Greek key study Bible, and it pulls out words that are really important in a passage and underlines them and puts a little number so you can go look and see what that corresponding word is so you get a better idea. They don't even put that under this word because they don't want grandma to go, wonder what that word means, and turn to it and find out what that word means. I won't tell you what that word means. I think we all have a pretty good idea, but it's very vulgar, extremely vulgar. Paul uses it to draw attention and to put extreme emphasis on the fact that all the good things he did because of the law, even the body didn't want. The body that is filled with hungers and appetites that can never seem to be overcome, even it doesn't want these things when compared to Christ. He says, in fact, not just those things relating to the law, I consider everything that. Because of the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus Christ, for whose sake I have lost all things. Paul is saying that everything in this world, in comparison with Jesus, is nothing. It's less than nothing. Nobody wants it. He says, I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ, be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. Paul is saying, I realized when I met Jesus, when he appeared to me on the Damascus Road, when I started to follow him, when I started to become a Christian, when I started to do all these things, that even though I was blameless according to the law, I still was empty. I still was broken. I still wasn't good enough. But when I found Christ, I realized that I didn't have to be good enough because he made me good enough. And in making me good enough, in this weird, strange mystery of salvation, the things that I strive to do, I do not because I want him to love me, but because I love him. There's a big difference between doing something because you want somebody to love you and doing something because you love them. Big difference. Because one is incredibly selfish. One says, all of my value, all of my worth, everything that I am comes from someone else. The other says, all that I am, all of my value, all of my worth is in me. And I give it to someone else. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to participate in his sufferings. I want to become like him in his death so that somehow I can attain to the resurrection from the dead. He says, I'm not there, but I keep trying. He says, but I do this one thing, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Paul says, forgetting the idea that my righteousness is found in following the rigors of the law and holding that above everybody else and using it as a measurement for everybody else and for myself, and instead moving towards mercy, grace, forgiveness, love. That's what I do. Notice what Paul doesn't say. Paul doesn't say, and ever since that happened, you know what? I never got sick again. Nothing bad ever happened to me again. I always had plenty of money. That's not what he says. He says, I've lost all things for Christ's sake. I want to know the power of his resurrection, which we all say, amen. I want to know participation in his sufferings, which we all say, Paul's crazy. I want to become like him, amen, in his death. There goes Paul again, talking about craziness. Attaining to the resurrection from the dead, amen. Guess what? You can't have resurrection from the dead without death. Kind of how that works, right? Paul is not saying, come to Jesus, and if you really have lots of faith, everything will be great. Paul is saying, come to Jesus, and because of faith, sometimes life is going to be horrible. But who cares? Because without Jesus, all the blessings that this world has to offer, are less than nothing. But with him, no matter if I have everything in the world or nothing in the world, I have Christ and I have enough. Brothers and sisters, I encourage you. Don't think that because things are difficult for you, that that means that God hates you, or you're bad, or you've done something wrong, or any of that kind of stuff. Don't think that. Don't get to that point. Instead, praise God, because in praising God, you follow Christ, who praised him even in the hour of his crucifixion. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day and for the many blessings that you give us. Help us, Lord, to praise you, whether things are wonderful or things are not so wonderful, knowing that all things are as nothing without you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. And I receive the benediction. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed with all the blessings of Christ. And may everything else be seen as nothing compared to the beauty of him. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, You are dismissed. Go in peace.